The 400-year-old techniques of Raku pottery are rooted in that country's Zen tea ceremony. The word itself evokes enjoyment, contentment, pleasure, and happiness. And the actual results are some beautiful pottery. The community is invited to take part in a Raku firing event tomorrow morning, a community kiln. Terry Savage is the acting president of Hawaii Craftsman. He's with us in our studio. Thanks for joining us, Terry.
Aloha, Chris. How are you today?
All right. The look of Raku is distinctive, isn't it?
It certainly is.
What produces that look?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. Certainly the clay itself tends to be kind of rough and sandy or full of particles of previously fired clay called grog, so it has that craggy look sometimes.
Uh-huh. Never heard that term before. That's great.
Grog, yes, as opposed to the other grog that we may know
of. The British sailors drank.
Indeed. Yeah. And the other aspect of it, of course, are the wonderful glazes and glaze effects that you can get on these wares. Everything from brilliant coppery reds to greens, crackle whites, and then of course there are pieces of the pots themselves sometimes with no glaze, and because of the process of taking the hot pot from the kiln and putting it into a container with combustible material, you get smoking in that what they call reducing container, and that smoke goes into unglazed sections of the pots, so you get this really terrific gray-black effect very often.
One of the things that's always fascinated me about pottery is that there's only so much about the end result that you can predict. Is that accurate?
I'd say there's a fair amount of serendipity and zen in all of this. I know people who do this for years and years and years and grumble, oh gosh, it just didn't turn out as I thought. That's the way it is. That's the fun of Raku. That's all part of it.
That takes a certain type of mentality on the part of the artist. You know, if you're a complete control freak, it doesn't sound as if this is for you, you know?
Yeah. I think many of us do this because we're looking for happy accidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And keeps it fresh and keeps us on our toes. And also you have the opportunity to learn a lot by looking at your peers at watching what they do in the firing process, perhaps, or how they glaze their pots, et cetera.
And what makes this particular firing process distinctive is that it's very, very hot and very fast.
Yes. Very often the ceramic processes we know involves putting a glazed pot into a kiln and firing it over a number of hours and then waiting for it to cool. And
gradually,
correct. And that's so you avoid thermal shock and broken pieces.
Yeah.
With Raku, you are firing very fast and bringing up, you can glaze your pot, let it sit near the kiln for a while so most of the moisture goes out of the glaze. Then the pot is put in usually a hot kiln, and taken up to temperature or, say, 20 minutes or so, 20 minutes to a half an hour, and then removed and cooled again. So that clay body is going through a lot of heating and cooling in a short period of time, which is why the pieces need to be previously fired or bisque fired before they are glazed and fired.
Because otherwise it would just shatter, I would think.
Yes. And those are unhappy accidents, so we're not looking for that.
No, obviously not. But, you know, the look is beautiful because of the way, to me, the way the colors kind of move gradually. They meld into one another. Mm-hmm. There aren't distinct borders, right? So you get, those are the happy accidents, the way colors combine.
Yes. And certainly there are artists who are very precise about where they put their glaze, and they get very controlled results. But very often, the place in which you put the pot in the kiln can create a different effect than you anticipated. So there's always a certain amount of unpredictability in the process.
How high is the temperature in one of these super hot firing?
Well, it ranges between 1600 and 1800 degrees.
That's pretty spectacularly hot.
Yes, it's really important to be appropriately dressed when you are firing.
Is that right?
Oh yeah. And when in fact tomorrow when we do the community kiln event, we will have expert firers who will have long pants and shoes and be wearing gloves and other clothing to protect themselves and face shields to protect themselves from the heat when they're leaning over the open kiln.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they'll be picking these pots up with tongs and
sure.
wearing gloves. So it's a quick-moving thing, and it seems almost choreographed in advance when you watch somebody who knows what they're doing.
And you would think, so people can bring in their almost completed pots if they're, but there's a certain amount of preparation to have them be ready for the firing, as I understand it.
Yes, actually we have approximately 200 previously bisque-fired pots that have been donated by potters that belong to the Hawaii Potters Guild and other groups. The children who will be at this event and their families will have an opportunity to buy these pots and glaze them on site.
I see,
and then the pots will be lovingly taken from their hands and put next to a kiln so they'll dry a little bit, and then they'll be fired by the volunteer firers that I mentioned before.
Yeah.
The audience, so to speak, will not be next to the kilns. We are roping that area off.
I was going to say, the children will be cautioned to stay well
back.
They
certainly will. They certainly will.
But they're also likely to be fascinated by watching this happen.
Oh, yes, yes. Because there'll be smoke coming out of the cans that the pots are put into, and flame will be licking up from time to time, and it'll be neat.
How much time elapsed between the time you put your pot in the kiln and you see some kind of result?
Well, it comes out in about 20 minutes or so, and then it needs to sit in that pot for another 10 or 15 minutes at least. And so certainly within an hour's time, you can see your piece finished.
And what was that process where you said you put it inside flammable material so it fires a little bit after you get it out of the kiln?
Well, if the flames have not completely reduced and you open up the top of the container and air and oxygen goes back in, then it may reignite. So you have to be aware of that and careful. And
That would apply for just about anything you would do with a kiln anyway.
Yes. When you're dealing with heat, you should be prudent.
Yeah. Well, you know, we think a 400 degree oven is hot, right? This is 1600 and up.
Yes.
That's pretty spectacular.
It is. And in addition to the Raku glazing and firing that's going on tomorrow, we will have some other activities to engage the kids. There will be performances by the American Recorder Society, and we'll have demonstrations of flower arranging, and kids will have an opportunity to do that as well.
Sounds like fun.
It should be. Yeah, we're going to get started around 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and it'll go on until about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome, Chris.
Terry Savage is the acting president of Hawaii Craftsmen, whose Raku Ho'olaulea 2017 Community Kiln is tomorrow morning, as he just described, at the Honolulu Museum of Art School. And at the end of May, the 2017 Raku Ho'olaulea will have 3 days of glazing and firing artwork by the beach at Camp Mokulea. And you can learn more on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.